per infilossare.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Tuesday to you as we come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee, intern Cam has the Periscope fired up if you want to watch along. How are we this morning? Thumbs up from Ben Lee, Cody McClure.
Doing good, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere other than my dirty mouth. I feel pretty good.
You have brought your toothpaste and toothbrush in here again.
I have a good excuse this time. They shut my water off at my apartment because they're doing some kind of maintenance on it. Apparently, they sent an email out about this yesterday. I didn't see the email until this morning.
Do you not have a bottle of water at the house you could have used?
No.
See, I always have at least like two or three bottles of water sitting around somewhere.
Well, I've got a case of water I keep in my trunk, but I wasn't about to go out to the car and then go all the way back inside. So I thought it would be easier to just bring my toothbrush here. So we'll get through this first segment of bad breath, and then I'm going to go brush my teeth.
Okay.
If you saw what I was eating last night, you would realize that I need to brush my teeth.
You can go do it now. Let's go ahead.
You want me to go now?
Yeah, the idea of you just all being right. Sick, just go in there. It'll be fine.
No, I'm not sick.
I know. I just hate that feeling for people. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable.
I just ate something really gross last night.
Yeah, so. That really put me over the edge. I was fine.
Brussels sprouts.
I just feel bad for the people who go to the mic after you. I don't want to have to hear Bear whine and complain about it. Just go ahead. You go brush your teeth. Do you need the Red Bull? Do you need the Red Bull to brush your teeth? You took a Red Bull with you. Do you need that? You took the Red Bull with you. Do you need the Red Bull to brush your teeth?
I was just putting that in the fridge.
Oh, okay. Is there, I mean, we're at the fun time of the year, as far as I'm concerned. And last night you felt a little heartbreak, but you mostly just felt that disappointment if you are a Nashville Predators fan. Right? And a lot of teams are going to feel this kind of in the NBA. You feel it every year where there's some franchise that just realizes, hey, the championship window has closed. And last night, look, I'm not a big Nashville Predators fan. I don't keep up with them very often, in depth. I've been aware of their run. We're, what, 2 years removed from the Stanley Cup trip? Or the trip to the final? Last year, knocked out in the second round. Last night, I don't want to call it unceremoniously, but it felt unceremonious. The way they were just knocked out in the first round in Dallas. Watching them try to score. I did watch all of the third period and overtime. Watching them just really not be able to have any real chances. Like, all of overtime was just them chasing Dallas. It felt like Dallas had the puck the entire time. The Preds had a couple power plays in the third period in overtime where they just couldn't even come close to scoring. Their power play, for a casual fan like me, seems really, 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 really bad. It seems like power plays should be more beneficial, and it seems like a lot of their fans were constantly talking about their failure on the power play. It feels like at the least they will make a coaching change. I feel like you kind of got to do something whenever it feels like you're getting stagnant and it feels like your team can't do simple things right. Like control the puck or convert on power plays. Like, I feel like those are things that coaching kind of help, at least the power play.
Sounds like you're talking about the Preds.
Yeah, I am. How do you feel with your mouth? You good?
Fresh, clean. Colgate total, man.
I don't want to say that I didn't miss you, but we were able to get through the 2 minutes without you, so I'm glad that you are clean in your mouth now.
Yeah. It's very clean mouth. I also got some of those Listerine strips. Love those. Those are a game changer.
Is there a worse feeling in sports
than not being able to score on the power play?
Well, no. I mean, I would imagine there were more frustrating things than that.
Although, pretty frustrating.
Although I remember last year, like the Preds. I mean, this feels like it was a problem last year, too, for the Preds. And I remember maybe in the game they got eliminated in was they had a couple of chances of like 5-on-3 and still couldn't score.
Yeah.
Maybe that was in the 2017 final. I don't know. I remember that vividly, though, like the Preds having 5-on-3 chances and not being able to score. No, I'm asking if there's a worse feeling in sports because I think the Preds fans are probably dealing with it this morning. At least I would be if I was a huge fan. That's where I would be in terms of just the feeling where your championship window closes, where the best run you've had is now over and you don't have any hardware to show for it. And maybe Preds fans look and they say, yeah, we at least got a Western Conference championship out of it. We at least made the Stanley Cup final.
Won the Central Division.
I don't think the Central Division is going to keep them warm. I feel like that's a cloth that has holes in it.
That's not even as good as like winning the SEC East.
Well, I mean, just by definition. Well, I don't know. How many people are in divisions in hockey? There's close. Is it just four? That's NBA. There's five in the NBA. I think there's like six or seven in hockey. Because they only have two divisions, right? So it's like seven or eight, right? So, I mean, I guess just comparatively, it's a little bit tougher to win your hockey division than the SEC East. There are eight teams in each division. Versus seven in the East. So I'd say winning your division is a good thing.
It's an accomplishment, but at the end of the day, it's not going to satisfy the fans.
Oh, no, it's not. Especially, like, it would if you were working in reverse, right? If you were winning the division in year one and gradually, if you're winning the division in year one, getting knocked out in the first round versus going to the second round the year after that, then going to the Stanley Cup final, it feels drastically different.
Yeah, because that's a drastic incline.
Yeah.
As opposed to a decline.
I mean, because the way they won the division was exciting. They tracked down Winnipeg, won the division by a point on, I believe, the last night of the season, if I'm not mistaken. But no, I think the worst feeling in sports as a fan is when you feel like your window is closed.
You think that's the worst feeling, worse than the teams that never have a window?
Yeah. I mean, it's the whole better to have loved and lost than never loved at all, right? I think it's also more painful. Like, you feel the pain. If your team sucks and you're just never good, you don't know what the heartbreak feels like.
I don't know, man. As a Tennessee sports fan, I feel like being good one time back in the day and never being good again is pretty brutal.
Well, no, we had the same thing in 2015, 2016. Like, we looked at that as a championship window. I mean, not to win the national championship, although in 2016, I think some people would have told you, yeah, we think we're a dark horse for the playoff. Even if we can't beat Alabama, we can win the East and have a chance to play ourselves in. Like, you didn't have to go undefeated in the regular season, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and that hurt, but wouldn't you rather have that 2016 year than the 2017 year?
Sure.
I mean, I would rather have those Florida-Georgia wins and that disgusting disappointment against Vanderbilt and South Carolina than to go winless in the conference.
But I would argue that 2015 and 2016 made 2017 way worse.
Maybe so, but I'd still take 2016 over 2018.
Well, you're signing up to love then. You want to love and have your heart broken, which is fine. That's where the saying comes from.
I think that's where I've always sided on this argument.
That's where the saying comes from. Better to have loved and lost than never loved at all. You at least want to dance. You at least want to go out there and make out, and no casual sex, we're leaving that in 2018, but just make out and have a good time and, you know, fall in love.
Maybe formal sex.
Even if she leaves you at the end and you have your heart broken, you're like, hey, at least we danced. At least we loved.
We danced.
It's funny how falling feels like flying for a little while. Others would look and say, I'd rather not deal with it. I've never had my heart broken. I don't care. I think in sports, man, I think the idea of your team having a chance to do something special and falling short of that, and that realization that it's over, I think it's the worst thing in sports. Like, I mean, just we talked about 2015-2016 Tennessee. You got through that window. You didn't have any SEC championships to show for it. You didn't even win the East. You didn't even win 9 games.
Same with basketball.
Same as basketball, yeah. Like, I mean, if Grant leaves and this team goes back to on the bubble, it's going to hurt, man. You're going to feel like, man, we really lost our opportunity there. And it's going to feel a lot worse than if you had just said, we're a tournament team. We're a tournament program. We're happy to make the tournament. And, hey, let's just get to the Sweet 16 every now and then, and let's win some games. The idea that you had these 2 years where, you really could have made a Final Four. Now, in that case, I think that's substitutable for championships, right? Just getting to the Final Four. I mean, I think we all kind of acknowledge that's what you play for in college basketball, right? To make the Final Four?
Yeah, that's good enough.
And to have these 2 years go by with none of that to show for it, it's going to make you hurt bad. Like, Grant leaving, like, we talked about that this season, though, Cody. You said it yourself. You're like, man, when Tennessee loses and this comes to an end, it's going to be the most painful loss in Tennessee basketball history.
Yes, but I'd still rather have that. I'd still rather love.
I'm not saying I wouldn't either, because, I mean, would you rather be competitive or uncompetitive?
Competitive.
Is uncompetitive a word? Non-competitive? Would you rather be competitive or non-competitive? Everyone's going to say competitive. But I'm not asking what would you rather have. I'm just saying that the pain, when it's over, hurts worse than anything. It's just the same as having your heart broken hurts worse than if you just never fall in love. Like, I'm not saying that you don't sign up for it, because that's what we do as fans. Like, ultimately, 99%, unless you're a Boston fan, 99% of your seasons are going to end in disappointment.
Yeah, which is a weird thing to sign up for, being a fan of sports.
It is.
But everyone does it. Everyone does it. And it's the same with the NCAA tournament. Every team season ends in disappointment besides one.
Look, as an Atlanta Hawks fan, I dealt with it too. I was, for 2008 to 2016, the Hawks made the playoffs every year. They had the longest playoff streak in the Eastern Conference. They were second in the NBA behind only the San Antonio Spurs. They were competitive. They were competitive, and it was fun. You didn't have to worry about missing the playoffs. They were going to get there. Now, they weren't going to win any championships, but they were going to get there. But then the one year, and was it 2015, where all of a sudden they won 60-something games, and they were the one seed, and you're like, man, wait a second. Got a chance here to win something big. And then you get swept by LeBron in the conference finals, and then all of a sudden, next offseason, that very same offseason, they blew up the team, and they got rid of everybody.
I imagine it would also be a miserable feeling to just be in eternal damnation, just not good at anything.
And I guess they technically didn't get rid of everybody that year. Damari Carroll was gone, and they ran it back another year. It didn't work out. And then, yeah, the next thing you know, you had Dwight Howard on your team. And you looked around and said, wait a second, how the hell do we end up with Dwight Howard on our team?
But maybe if you suck, you just eventually start to care about other things. But that's what I'm worried about with Tennessee football. That's what I've been worried about, is that we just suck for so long, eventually we start just going to art exhibits.
So do you think it hurts more, though, just to suck?
No.
Well, that's my point. Like, again, because I'm not saying this or that, give me just, let's not care. Let's just be terrible. That's way less painful. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying it doesn't hurt. Like, last year didn't hurt you, right? Like, you lost to Missouri. Did it hurt? No. It didn't hurt me, at least. I was just kind of like, it is what it is. Florida came in here and beat your ass, and it made you really depressed, but it was almost like a numbness of like, man, this should hurt worse than it does. I actually don't care. All of 2017's football season was me not caring. I mean, did you care in 2017?
No, that doesn't hurt worse, but to me that is worse.
And I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, the pain is not worse, but the apathy is an even worse feeling. Not a worse feeling, but a worse overall emotion.
I just really felt bad for Preds fans, because maybe it doesn't happen. Maybe they're able to kind of run it back, and maybe hockey is such a funny game that they could come back and get hot and make a couple changes, and they'll be fine next year. How old's Pekka? He's late 30s, right? Like, he's on the wrong side of 35, right? I mean, he's older, correct? I feel like he's been around forever. 36? I imagine he turns 37 next year, like, or this upcoming season, right? November, so basically right when the season starts. Season starts like late October, right? I don't know how late goalies play at a high level. I don't know. I think there are a couple instances where they've had some really old ones at like 38, 39 still be good, but I feel like at 37 you're almost out, you're out of your prime at that point. And Pekka was great last night. He gave the Preds every chance they had to, you know, every chance they could have asked for to win. If you give me, what did he give, 73 minutes. I believe the Dallas scored with like 6 minutes left in overtime, if I'm not mistaken. You gave them almost 70 minutes, give or take, of one-goal hockey. It's a pretty damn good performance. And I didn't even feel like he was bad in Game 5 when Dallas scored 5. I feel like his defense wasn't helping him, but he still wasn't able to stop them. 2017, Pekka would have stopped and overcame the defensive issues. And I'm not blaming him. I thought he was, like I said, despite giving up 5 goals, I thought for the most part he played really good in Game 5. I watched a lot of that game. But was it Game 4 where he just got absolutely his head beat in Dallas and they benched him? Wasn't good in that game. Maybe the window kind of, you know, begins and ends with Pekka, and as I feel like he's getting older, it's a pretty good, parallel there between the franchise. And I've talked, you know, in the past, I believe yesterday we talked about it, in terms of how, you know, it just doesn't feel like that organization has the same type of support. I mean, for a while they were unbeatable at home in the playoffs, and I believe they're 2-5 their last 7 games, if I'm not mistaken.
They gentrified their hockey team just like they did their city.
They did. I mean, they gentrified their fan base. They did, 100%. Playoff hockey fans are different than regular season hockey fans, it seems like. And even the regular season hockey fans, I've seen people say that, like, hey, I've tried to go to games all year and you can't get in on the weekends for less than like $80 a ticket for uppers. I just think that is the worst feeling in sports. The biggest pain. Losing a big game sucks, it does. But knowing that your run is over, to me, is the worst pain.
Well, at least they've got the old Red Bar down on Lower Broadway there. Can drink the pain away there. Or go across the street to Jason Aldean's place.
Florida Georgia Line also has a bar, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Kid Rock has his big ass. What is it, his big ass?
Big ass honky tonk, yeah. Or whatever. Yeah. And they got the draft there, so that's pretty cool.
I mean, I guess if the city's probably looking around saying, hey, that's one less thing we got to worry about next weekend, right, in terms of hosting playoff games.
That's what I was thinking about with the draft. I mean,
because I believe they have the draft and a Jimmy Buffett concert. So there's going to be a whole lot of middle-aged people really, really drunk running around Nashville.
Surely the Jimmy Buffett concert won't bring in too many people from out of town.
Buddy, have you ever dealt with a Jimmy Buffett fan?
No, but I imagine they're insufferable.
Those people travel.
The parrot heads, Jimmy Buffett really tapped into something early in terms of, you know what, I don't need everyone to, like, love me. But if I can get, like, a good, loyal group of fans that will support me to the death, I'll be just fine. And he's rolled that to hundreds of millions of dollars.
I mean, I don't think those people are traveling in droves to see Jimmy Buffett anymore, though.
I bet anybody from 6 hours away will be there.
Whenever he opens up a new Margaritaville and then hosts like his own personal concert there, they go. Like that's a
right,
thing. That's an
that's
event
at,
for them.
That's at a Margaritaville. Like that's not.
I think his concert's going to be bigger than.
It's not like there's going to be 20,000 people at Bridgestone Arena for Jimmy Buffett. Is what I'm saying, or however many it holds.
I'm saying they travel for a restaurant opening. Why would they not travel for just a concert for him?
Is Jimmy Buffett selling out, like, major venues still?
Yeah, I think so.
What is his Where's he playing?
He's playing Bridgestone right across the street.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
They'll probably, like, rope off the top, right? He's not going to sell out all of Bridgestone Arena. That many people are really going to go watch Jimmy Buffett play?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, he is playing Bridgestone, though. Like, I mean, he's playing the big venue.
Yeah. Didn't realize Cheeseburger in Paradise was that big of a
hit. It's a lifestyle, man. Jimmy Buffett, like I said, he was really smart in terms of selling an idea and saying, hey, like I said, I don't need everyone to like me, but I'm going to find some people that really, really love me. And I'm going to ride that to millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars.
I mean, he's one of the highest grossing. I know that in terms of money, but didn't know he could sell out an arena. We'll see if he sells it out. I'd be interested to see the attendance at Bridgestone for that.
Buffett's a star, man.
Although in Nashville, he'll probably sell it out.
Buffett's a star.
Look, they're sold out on Ticketmaster.
If there's
just
a Buffett,
so you know.
If there's Buffett fan in the state of Tennessee, they're going to Nashville.
Or Alabama or Mississippi or Kentucky, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm looking on Ticketmaster. They're sold out. They got resale tickets, but they're sold out. So at least Nashville's probably like, one less thing to worry about, I guess. Ain't got to worry about everybody standing out in the square watching on TV, the Preds.
Well, and I think that's probably a different crowd, too, isn't it?
Oh, it's going to be. I would love to see the meatheads from Philadelphia.
Colliding with the Jimmy Buffett
worshipers. From New Jersey that are Nets fans. Just bald-headed big men with tattoos. Wait. Realize I was describing myself. Old.
You're a Jimmy Buffett guy.
No, I'm not. Old beer drunk.
There you go.
Bald headed men with tattoos wearing jerseys and jeans. Jerseys and jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Or cargo shorts. Pot bellies. Just drunk and wild. Traveling from the Northeast. Oakland Raiders fans. The Raiders weirdos, you know, going to Nashville because they're like, hey, let's party, man. Nashville, yeah. Kid Rock. I'm going to go ahead and get it on record. I don't know if we can check this, but Kid Rock's bar is going to do the most business from the NFL draft, in my opinion.
Especially with Oakland fans.
Yeah. All the redneck fans, they're gonna flock to Kid Rock's bar. All the lowlives from Oakland. I mean, you know Detroit Lions fans.
All the Lions fans are going there.
Yeah.
That's like a historical landmark for them.
Sure. This little kid came from Romeo, Michigan and turned himself into
look what he's done now. Got a bar on Lower Broadway. Look at this, baby. Ball with the ball.
I mean, I'm not making fun. I love Kid Rock. We've already covered this. I'm not pointing fingers. I understand. I am a Kid Rock fan.
Devil without a cause, baby. Brenda, look at this. They got funnel cakes over there across the street.
I'm not here to judge. I'm a big Kid Rock guy. I'm just saying the NFL draft's going to bring a lot of weirdos that are going to flock to that bar.
Get your ass chaps up on that Harley and let's get out of here.
I really want to see the spillover between the Jimmy Buffett crowd and the
Detroit biker crowd.
And the biker gang that's hanging out at Kid Rock's bar.
Who are Lions fans.
Who are mad that the Jets just took some lineman that they don't want. Because everyone always boos their picks at the draft. Like, everyone's always upset. Everyone's going to be really, really drunk and really upset. Roger Goodell's going to have them worked into a lather. They're going to be booing Roger Goodell.
Are there a lot of fights at the draft?
I don't know.
There should be. Like Cowboys and Eagles fans and Redskins fans. I mean, there's got to be so many fights. The Bears and Packers fans fighting over sausages.
I don't use this lightly. I don't say this lightly. I mean it wholeheartedly. You have to be a real weirdo to travel from out of state to go to the draft. Like, if you're a Titans fan, if you're from around here and you're excited for it, for hosting it, that's different. But if you're a Bears fan coming from Chicago, you're kind of a weirdo. You're probably wanting to fight for your colors.
Oh, wow. Colin just sent us in everything going on this weekend in Nashville.
NFL fans are a white people's version of a gang.
We have a Michael Jackson experience at the Municipal Auditorium, too. That's expected to draw around 5,000 people.
Where at?
The Municipal Auditorium.
We haven't canceled that?
No. Apparently it's expected to draw 5,000 people.
That's still happening?
Hopefully just adults, but that's going on.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that marathon. I imagine the marathon runs downtown, right?
Oh, man. That's
the marathon crowd mixed in with the Jimmy Buffett and the NFL draft people.
That's going to be weird. They are not going to like the marathon crowd.
They probably need to go ahead and cross off the NHL Western semifinals. That is that is no mas.
At least they won't have to worry about that.
That's gone. That's no more.
Nashville Cocktail Festival.
The people watching down there is going to be fun. Because like I said, you're getting the worst of the worst of the NFL fans. The people who are ready to die for those jerseys. You're getting Bills Mafia. They'll be down here. They'll be ready to go. At least the Preds, I guess, did them a favor by not showing up. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Cody, if you decided to go to Nashville, you just said, seems like a fun weekend. I think I'll be there.
That is not at all what I said. I was thinking I might go make a little money.
Just gonna go drive?
Yeah, might go make a little money, spend a little money. You know, depends on what's going on.
Intern Cam said he's headed to Nashville. But sorry if I offended you, Intern Cam.
But
by saying it was only going to be weird white guys there. I guess there will be some minorities there as well. Congratulations, Cam.
He's not going for any of these activities, though.
He's going to watch the Falcons, and then he said he's going to see a woman.
The Falcons?
He's a Falcons fan. A little draft.
Oh, yeah, Cam.
He'll swing by and see who gets drafted. Boo a little bit.
Yeah. Do you think there will be the turnout? I mean, other than Thursday night, the first round, how will those festivities work?
I think Friday and Saturday will be crowded.
There's always a lot of people still there.
Yeah, I mean, the way they do break it up will make it weird because the first round, the round you really want to see is the Thursday night. And I don't know, maybe these fans are making a weekend of it. That's the thing that Nashville has to deal with now. And it's why that it's really made it so appealing to me to buy Titans season tickets. Because I think now the Titans will be a big venue for road fans. And I think it's a good investment to have Titans tickets to sell to opposing fans.
I remember seeing when I was there last year, I was coming through when they played Philly, and there were a lot of Eagles fans.
Yeah, I was at that game. It's a detriment to the Titans that Nashville is now so appealing that fans will want to travel there, make a weekend of it, go on Broadway, ride the what are they? They have three different things now, the pedal taverns. I believe they have a hot tub now that you can ride around downtown and get drunk in.
I saw a big shopping cart thing on the internet yesterday. It's like a giant shopping cart you can ride around.
Is that real?
I don't know.
I assumed that was fake because it looks so dumb.
Hopefully. I mean, would you put it past Nashville?
No, I wouldn't.
Is Nashville, I mean, in terms of destination cities for NFL fans to go to, where does it rank? Because I still don't view Nashville as like a major city.
I don't think you do because you're from here or, you know, from around here and been here long enough. But I would say that opposing fan bases probably look at Nashville and say, yeah, that's a fun trip to make. Nashville's a fun time. Broadway, I mean, if they're from places that they're also hockey fans, you know, the NHL has really sold Nashville as a destination as well. I mean, the fact that the NFL is putting their draft there makes it seem like a big boy, right? Like, I mean,
that helps them.
Like, where are the other places that's had the draft so far? It's pretty much just been Chicago and
Philly, Dallas.
Dallas got one too, and then, I mean, maybe Chicago hasn't had one yet. Because this is a pretty new thing that they've done. It used to be in New York all the time at the Music City Hall.
I know the last 2 years, right, they did it in Philadelphia and Dallas.
Philly got one? Sure Philly got one?
They did it in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Barnett was in Philadelphia.
Okay. So, I mean, the fact that the NFL is here kind of makes a statement that it's one of their premier cities, I think.
I'm just wondering in terms of NFL cities where Nashville would rank on destination cities if I was just an outsider coming in. I don't know. I don't know if it would be in the top 10 or like close.
I feel pretty confident it'd be in the top 10. Again, maybe I'm skewed because I live close to here, or maybe we're taking it for granted because we live here. Just running through it, I would rather go there than Boston. I'd rather go to Nashville than Boston if I'm from outside of here.
Yeah, see, I don't think so.
You think more people want to go to Boston?
I don't know. I mean, Boston's just – maybe it's because I've never been to Boston. But Boston just seems so much more historical and like a place I'd want to see. Things I'd want to learn about in Boston.
That's what you want to do on your NFL weekends is go learn?
Well, no, I'm not talking about necessarily for a game, but I mean,
I'm talking about for games.
Rather go to a Patriots game, yeah, than a Titans game.
Well, I'm talking about the city for the games. I'm talking about just you're in for a weekend. You're in for a 3-day weekend.
Can I do the city Saturday, the game Sunday?
Yeah,
I'm definitely taking Boston.
You can get in, do the nightlife Friday, do the city Saturday, do the nightlife Saturday, and then go to the game on Sundays. You're taking Boston first?
Yeah, I'm taking Boston. But maybe that's because I've never been to Boston.
Miami, definitely taking Miami.
Yeah.
Buffalo, no. Weather.
No, Nashville beats Buffalo.
New York, okay. New Jersey, probably taking New York, although I would probably be overwhelmed, honestly. I'd be like, I don't want to go to New York just for a game. That's kind of overwhelming. That's too much of a hassle.
New York City's big, but it is a better destination.
Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati, taking Nashville over all of them.
Yeah.
You're not going to argue for any of those. I'm not allowed.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's in Cleveland. And the Liberty Bell's in Philadelphia. Did you say Nashville over Philadelphia? Is that what you just said?
Really? You think Cleveland's cool? You want to go there for vacation?
Just the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I'd go check out Pittsburgh.
Go see LeBron's hometown.
You guys want to go to Pittsburgh than Nashville? Like, you think people are looking around saying, give me the Steel City?
No. Too much smog. Nashville ranks ahead of Pittsburgh. I'll give Nashville that.
I don't know. Maybe this is just me because I've been to Nashville.
I mean, I understandable.
So I would check out Pittsburgh.
Joakim Noah with one of the greatest quotes at a press conference ever whenever he's talking about Cleveland and how it sucked. And they asked him about it, if he would want to walk it back. He's just like, really? You think Cleveland's cool? You want to go there for vacation? And everyone's just like, no. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's exactly. going there for vacation. I mean, how high do you rank Nashville?
I think it's in the top 10 in the NFL cities. And I would say it's probably not 10. So it's probably closer to the top 5. Again, like maybe I might be completely biased about this. I don't know. I think Nashville's a good city, but I also want the big city feel without being completely overwhelmed by a city. And I think I'd be completely overwhelmed if I try to go to New York to watch a Jets or Giants game.
I mean, but you get to see New York.
But also the stadium is, I don't know how far.
You can take an Uber.
You can take an Uber from New York City to the Giants game?
You'd probably be better off taking a train or something into Manhattan.
I mean that's also an issue with Boston, is the Patriots Stadium's 45 minutes away from Boston. Whereas the Titans is, you know, right smack downtown Nashville, you can walk to it. You can go to the bars and then walk over to the stadium. Can't do that in, you know, New York or
I mean, to me, Nashville's Boston. Just not the same level of city. You know what I mean?
It might not be.
Those cities are more majestic, I guess. Like the big three, like New York, LA, Chicago, are going to rank ahead of it. I think Miami definitely because of the weather.
I just don't think I want New York or LA for a weekend trip. If I want to spend a week there, yes, I agree. A 3-day trip with one of the days being taken up by a football game, I would feel completely overwhelmed to go to New York and try to squeeze something in.
I mean, yeah, you're right about that because you can't. It's not like you can see it all in a day.
And I just think these NFL, most of these franchises, they maybe take Friday off. They come in late Friday or late Thursday, and then they're there for 2 or 3 days. They just get really trashed on Broadway, and then they go home. That was the vibe I got with all the Philadelphia Eagles fans I dealt with. They were there to party and then go back home. There wasn't much sightseeing. Hey, let's walk around downtown. Then let's go home.
In Nashville, there's really not a lot of sights to see.
No, you just go there and you listen to live country music and drink.
You get drunk
on
Broadway. And
then check out Kid Rock's big-ass bar, and that's it.
Yeah. Vegas. Got to put Vegas ahead.
Well, once it opens up. Oh, yeah.
Vegas.
Oakland / Las Vegas becomes number one for the weekend trip. Like, they're going to run into the same issues in terms of opposing fans overtaking their stadiums. Because if the Titans ever play in Las Vegas for a weekend, that's a perfect excuse of, hey, I want to go to that game.
The only difference is it's further to go.
Sure, but I think it'd be worth it because I think you – weekend trip, that's all the time I need in Vegas. I don't want to be there longer than 4 days. I'm good.
It's like a 3-hour flight versus maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours from other places.
Give me that 11 p.m. flight into Vegas. We'll get there. We'll stay up all Thursday night. We'll party Friday. We'll sleep Friday, party Saturday, and then go to the game on Sunday, then go home that night. There is no sadder place in the world than that. Those red-eye flights coming out of Las Vegas at like 1 a.m. on Sunday night / Monday morning. Just a bunch of zombies walking around there. The flight, you get on that flight to come back home, no one says a word. Everyone just sits there. It's the most quiet flight ever. Now, Las Vegas will run into this problem, too, in terms of they're going to struggle to have home crowds. Like, obviously, you're going to run into that when you're moving your team and you're starting a fan base new in a new city, but you're also going to be a destination.
You're going to have a lot of outsiders coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
like I said, if the Titans ever play there, I will make sure to go.
But you might not have a good fan base.
You might not have the – and maybe that's a part of the Titans' problem, too, is that they haven't done enough winning to have a loyal fan base that wants to snatch up all these tickets and hold on to them for dear life.
I imagine Vegas will have the same problem LA does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you see that with Rams games. Even as the Rams are one of the best teams in the NFL, you see their stadium 40% overran by other teams' fan bases. Because LA is a place you're like, let's just make a weekend out of it. Maybe take a whole week vacation. I don't know. Like I said, these NFL fans are weird.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was 60% Packers fans whenever they played there.
Yeah, I mean, the big fan bases that travel overrun stadiums like that. Now, they overrun a lot of stadiums, but the cities like that get it worse.
I wonder if those people, do they not have jobs, or do they just have, like, flexible
hours? I mean, I don't know. I mean, we do it here in Knoxville whenever Tennessee played in at Oregon. You had people take the week off and just go explore Seattle and then drive up to or drive down wherever the hell Eugene is. I don't know.
Some people must get a lot of vacation time.
Flying to Portland. Some people just flew into Portland and then drove down.
You say that as if we can't just take any day off whenever we want.
I mean, most people have at least 2 weeks of vacation. Some have four, some have six, some have eight.
But we can't just...
It's just funny because Cody's acting like we're just like so like set on being here like we wake up one morning, don't feel very good, like, hey, I'll catch you guys tomorrow.
I'm too drunk today.
Like, we're out here really punching the time clock and working a real blue-collar, salt-of-the-earth job that feeds us 360 days a year.
We could pick up and go to L.A. anytime we wanted.
I'm not necessarily comparing us. I mean, just regular working people, though, I don't think can do that.
I think if you plan for it.
You think it's different people every time?
No, I don't.
You think it's the same folks that dedicated, or like the Kentucky basketball fans?
Yeah, I mean,
another example.
Now I think they're able to maybe, like, especially like in the SEC tournament, like I think they're able to come and say, "Hey, we'll take off a Friday, and you don't have to take a whole week off, right? Like you can go down and do that."
But if you take every Friday off, I mean, I guess they have flexible jobs. I don't know.
I mean, they don't have to worry about taking any off for football season. It's not like they're traveling to watch their football team play.
Yeah, no, they don't do that. Maybe it's expected in the workplace in Kentucky, you know. They don't expect you to work on Fridays because you're going to watch Big Blue.
Maybe. NFL fans are weird, man. Like I said, they're a gang. They follow those teams. So you look, and yeah, I mean, like I said, maybe I'm overrating Nashville because I'm also trying to rationalize how the stadium gets overran constantly. And I've worked it in my head that, oh, well, that's just going to happen, baby. Nashville's the it city. Destination place. But I think you've seen it grow, and I think you've seen it glamorized on TV. I mean, it had a show named after it, Nashville. I mean, you see, like I said, if you're in an NHL city, you see, oh, man, there's stars here all the time.
Oh, wow, they throw fish on the ice there. We don't even have fish up here.
And I think I do think that you are underestimating the reach that country music has nationwide. It's not just a Southern thing.
Well, I know that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, let's go check that out.
I'm not underestimating the power of country music.
I don't know what this segment was, really. Just really putting up Nashville. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like we overrate Nashville.
I feel like we underrate it.
Nah, it's definitely not underrated.
I feel like we underrate it because we're so close to it. And we can just go there whenever we want. I think there'd be I think it'd be really hard to come in from out of town and have a bad time there.
Oh, I agree with that.
So, I mean, for that reason, but, I think people leave thinking it's a great city.
It's a good party city.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I think every time someone flies in for the weekend, I would imagine it's tough to have a bad time in Nashville. Like, you might come out and be like, damn, that was a little expensive. Those damn $10 drinks on Broadway, what the hell? But most of them from cities where that's kind of normal.
Yeah, if you're coming from L.A., you probably think it's cheap.
Sure. I think it'd be hard to come in there and just be like, this wasn't that fun. There's enough Southern women running around having bachelorette parties to quench the thirst of any middle-aged creepy NFL fan wearing a jersey.
Oh, look at her. We don't have those in Buffalo.
They love the city of Nashville and Buffalo.
Yeah.
They never want to leave. They're like, we have reached the Holy Grail. They have sundresses here? You mean they'll have to wear toboggans and big winter coats year-round? What the hell? They feel like the men of the North in Game of Thrones.
The difference in Winterfell and King's Landing.
Yeah.
Or the Dornish women.
They actually let them things hang out a little bit around here.
Oh, wow. Those shorts aren't even shorts.
If casual sex wasn't canceled in 2019, I'd have a great time in Nashville.
I don't understand that reference.
Let's go to break. All right, where do we stand on our hat? Cody, have you replenished the topics like you said you would yesterday?
Yeah. They're actually all out of my car. I got all the topics in a hat in the car.
Well, kind of like when I let you go brush your teeth, just go ahead and run out there and get them. While you're doing that, Cam, you ready to hit us with one of your movie reviews? We're 2 days away, right? We're 2 days away from Endgame. I've seen that people, I guess the early screenings have happened.
The
Is that correct?
The premiere happened last night.
Okay, so that wasn't an early screen. That was just the premiere?
Yeah, so all the stars first saw it last night.
Is that it? Is there any other places that have seen it? Was it just from there?
I think that was the first time they showed it to most people.
Okay, so we're getting close to Endgame. We're 2 days away.
Yes, sir.
What movies do we have today? We got to start mowing through these at a quicker pace,
right,
Cam.
So I'm going to do Captain America Civil War, and then later I'm going to do a speed round with like Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and Spider-Man Homecoming.
All right, so right now, Civil War.
Yeah, this one's a big one. It's probably the second most important one to see before Endgame.
How excited are you for this movie?
Oh, I'm losing my mind.
What would you give up? Like if I told you
casual
you could either...
sex in 2019.
All sex?
That's already canceled.
I was just reading about that.
All of it or just casual?
I'd consider all of it. I'd have to think for a second, but maybe.
I'm just wondering because, I mean, you have been waiting for this, as have a lot of people have been waiting. I mean, 10 years, right?
Yep.
And it's finally here.
Wait, you'd give up sex for a year?
I said maybe. I said I'd consider it.
For Endgame? Just to know the
Endgame?
Maybe
if I got to see it, like, early or something.
But
maybe
now that
even
it's
that
here.
Would have been.
I mean, now that it's here.
What if
you
had to wait another year?
Yeah, what if I was like, hey, you can't watch this until 2020.
But you get it right now if you give up sex for a year.
I would probably do it, to be completely
honest. No way.
I'd probably do it.
No way.
Yeah.
If I told you had to wait a year to finish Game of Thrones? Or give up making biscuits? Which one are you taking?
It's only making biscuits if it's with a big girl. Sometimes it's just casual sex. With regrets the next day, always. On her end.
When she rolls over and sees Cody just staring at her.
Remember me?
Hey, good morning. You want breakfast?
Oh, my God. You're here? You want breakfast? It was you? I'm still not giving that up.
If I told you couldn't watch the Battle of Winterfell and the rest of season 8.
As much as I love Game of Thrones, I'm still giving it up.
Really?
That. Yeah. Well, it depends on... Give me a number, too. You know what I mean?
Like, what do you mean a number? I mean, how many times you're going to get to do it the rest of the year?
Yeah, how many times am I going to get laid?
I mean, that's up to you, too.
I got to take the risk.
Huh? I mean, do you have any game or not? Can you trick a woman into having an emotional attraction to you?
Many times, yeah.
Well, there you go.
I can...
Can you sell her on the idea that you are better than other guys? And that you actually care?
In the short term. In the short term, yes. I think I would still do that.
All right, Cam.
All right, Captain America: Civil War. Boom. So it opens up 1991. It's Bucky Barnes who's brainwashed at the
time. Where are we at after this? Where in the timeline is 1991?
This is it's not really like super relevant in the timeline. It's actually, I guess, the most relevant thing that happened. We touch on in this movie, so I'll come back to it.
Okay.
But so it's 1991. Bucky
and this movie's
Barnes.
After which one? Which one are we following up? We're following up.
This is right after. This is a year after like Age of Ultron and stuff like that.
Okay.
So
I actually saw this one in theaters for some reason.
Yeah, it was a big.
I think this one's the first one that I feel like everyone was like, "Hey, you got to watch this one. Hey, this movie's so cool."
It was
I was like,
"Big crossover."
I don't really know what the hell's going on, but I'll go watch it. The next thing I know, I was like, "Wait, Black Panther? Who the hell's this guy?"
Yeah, everything was introduced here. So yeah, 1991, Bucky Barnes is brainwashed, and you see him intercept a car that had a super soldier serum, which is the stuff that you know turned Captain America into what he is. So he gets that for his like Russian handlers. So boom, back to like present
it's always
day.
Russia. Yeah. We've been scared of Russia the entire last, 80 years we've been scared of Russia?
Cold War. Well, they can destroy us.
Back to present day, and it's Captain America, Scarlet Witch, Black Widow, Falcon, and they're in Laos, Nigeria, and they're trying to find this guy named Crossbones. And he ends up stealing a biological weapon. They're chasing him down. They get to him. And Captain America gets distracted because he starts talking about Bucky, and they're still trying to find Bucky. And so he always gets super emotional when you mention his name. So he had a lapse in judgment.
Were they just friends?
They were friends in World War II, and he thought he died, and then he found out he had been brainwashed.
Right, because he came back and helped him in the second one. I mean, I guess that would be a long time to be friends. It's like 50 years, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's 1991.
He thought he was dead, so he was kind of like, oh.
He's going
through
a roller coaster of emotions with Bucky.
And that's like the only person he knows that was still alive from like his time back
I guess
day.
That's true.
So,
if I was old with not a lot of friends from when I was younger, I would really hold on to that guy, too. That makes sense.
So the guy had a bomb, and Wanda uses her telekinesis to like kind of contain it, and she throws it up in the air, and it hits a building and ends up killing a bunch of innocent people. So then they're like, oh, crap, that's a bad look. So, boom, the UN shows up and is like, hey, we got these things called the Sokovia Accords. We're going to make the Avengers a government-run operation where the UN decides where you go. And Tony Stark's like, all right, we need to sign this before they, like, really put some major restriction on us. We just need to go ahead and, like, kind of have a hand on the wheel. And Cap's like, no, I trust my judgment better than the government. So there's already kind of, like, a rift there. So he doesn't sign it. So there's the UN signing going on. And, there's Wakanda there
faster.
For the first time, and so so the UN gets bombed. The UN gets bombed, and they're like, "Oh crap, who bombed it?" It looked like Bucky Barnes bombed it. Wakanda's king dies, so T'Challa becomes king, and so they're going after Bucky Barnes. Cap does, which is illegal because he didn't sign the accords. So he's going after Barnes. They find Barnes. Black Panther shows up. He's fighting Barnes, so they're all fighting. They all get captured. And then the therapist they bring in for Barnes ends up being this guy named Zemo who stole this book that lets you brainwash him. So he brainwashes him for information. They all end up having a big fight in the facility. Cap captures Barnes. They get away, and they lead him away. And then he gets a team together. He gets, like, Hawkeye, Ant-Man. He gets a bunch of people on his team. And then Tony Stark gets his team. He goes to get Spider-Man, Black Panther, stuff like that.
So why'd they have beef exactly? Explain that to me.
Because of the accords, and it was like... Tony was like, we need to sign this before, you know, they put something worse on us.
Whose team
were
you
control.
On? What side were you on? I was a Captain America guy.
I think
don't know who
Cap's
was right morally.
Idea is right. Like, I think he's right that their judgment's better. But I think Tony was more right on, like, you need to at least, like, have a hand on the wheel before, like, You know, because, like, when Cap didn't agree with it, they instantly were like, you're a criminal now for doing this stuff against our thing. So I think, like, Tony was right in that aspect, but Cap was, like, fundamentally right.
Who had a better squad?
Oh, Tony Stark, of course. Yeah, Black Panther, Spider-Man, like, he was rolling.
I don't remember Black Panther being on his side. I thought Black Panther was kind of, like, by himself in that movie.
Well, he wanted to kill Bucky, so he was like, I'm going to go on Tony's side, gotcha. You know, to help him with that. So, fight.
My dad's dead.
Ant-Man turns giant man. Spider-Man swinging around. They're flying around. Captain America ends up getting away with Bucky. Everybody else gets arrested. They're going to stop this guy from getting these other super soldiers cryogenically frozen. Turns out he just kills them. Tony realizes, oh, Bucky got framed. He didn't actually blow up the UN. I'm going to go help Cap out and apologize because we're cool still. So he shows up and, hey, I'm here to help, yada, yada, yada. They're just standing there and like, oh, this guy killed all the things. Then Zemo starts playing a video, and it's this 1991 scene that this thing opened up with, and it shows Bucky, you know, getting to the car and stuff, and it turns out the people in the car are Tony Stark's parents, and Bucky's the one that killed Tony's parents. And so Tony's like, Cap, did you know about this? And Cap's like, yeah. And Tony's like, what, you didn't tell me? And so he gets pissed, and he starts fighting them both, and so Cap's trying to stop him from killing Bucky, and he's trying to kill Bucky in a big fight. He blows off Bucky's mechanical arm, him and Cap are fighting. Cap ends up disabling his suit. And then Tony's like, we were friends too, yada, yada, yada. And Cap starts walking away, and he's like, hey, my dad made you that shield. That's not yours. So Cap drops the shield and leaves with Bucky.
Kind of sounds, now that hearing you explain it, it feels like Captain America was wrong here.
I hated him at the end of this. Yeah. He get real wrong at the end.
Like he was really in the wrong here.
He was just not a good friend to Tony. And so at the end, Cap ends up breaking out everybody else that was on his like side out of prison, and they all go on the run. Hawkeye
retires.
Basically that was it. And Rhodey, War Machine, got injured during the big fight at the airport where it's both the teams, and Tony's helping him like relearn to walk and stuff like that. And that was basically the end of the movie.
1 out of 10. How important is it?
This is a 9. This is big time because it tells you where the Avengers are going into
9.
Infinity War and Endgame, why they're divided, like their mindset, and why it's just a weird dynamic from here on out.
Hour 1 in the books, hour 2 on deck. Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, Vol Nation, this is Travis.